This week on Android App Addicts, we have another folding device. You can rock your phone, but you're not rocking it to sleep. And we have a bunch of graphics and apps on 538 of Android App Addicts. Hey, hey, Podnutians. Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 538. I want to thank everyone who can come out this Thursday evening, 9 p.m. If you would like to join us live, you can just go to youtube.com/door-to-door-geek or go to podnuts.com, click on live. You'll get a direct link right to our live stream. Right now, we're supporting really two different kinds of chats. The built-in chat on that podnuts.com page is an IRC chat going to Freenode, and then we have the YouTube chat. I'll do my best to monitor them both. This episode of Android App Addicts is brought to you by Todd Evans, a long-time Patreon supporter. He joined October 31st, 2015, and he also writes tons of emails. I'm tempted to give him an honorary entry into the Google Home Mini giveaway, but I'm pretty sure he's going to send an email anyway. So thank you very much, Todd. Mark did ping me a little bit earlier today and said he was a little bit upset. His job today sent him, as he put it, up the mountain, and he didn't even think he was going to be home in time for the show. And he said, if I am home for the show, he says, I doubt I will be any good for the show. So this evening we have no Mark Cockrell. I will say we do have a good amount of emails. So I want to thank everyone. If you want to be entered into the Google Home Mini giveaway, which I have sitting right here in the box, not even open yet, all you got to do is send us an email at aaa@podnuts.com. And we do have a couple emails, so I'm going to first go over a couple of the quicker emails because we have more than a couple short emails. Really quick, we're going to first say thank you to Phil. He's the newest Patreon supporter. So he's going to have a honorary entry because I got an email from Patreon with his name in it. So I count that as a entry. He also sent a message to us on Patreon. So I'm going to give him a second entry because, you know, it's just me. I can do that kind of thing. But do not fret. There will be plenty of opportunities for plenty of other people to enter the contest. Here's the first email. First email is from Roy Holmes. The email just says, a Android game you might like. And the email says, it's called Ending. It's on the Play Store, and it's worth checking out if you have not already. Love the show. Keep up the good work. He has entered into the contest. I will say, I tried to find the game called Ending. I could not find a game just called Ending. Quite frequently, I will say, games do the old switcheroo. And the install name that you see displayed in your app drawer versus what it's listed in the Google Play Store is sometimes different. That's what I'm going to assume happened. I could not find the game, so I did did send an email back. So Roy, if you feel up to it, you can find it. Shoot me that link, and I will definitely showcase it on the show. Next email, really quick, from Mike D. Mike D is another longtime supporter. He is also now entered into the Google Home Mini giveaway, and he just says, just wanted to say thank you guys for the great podcast. I use it to make my 7-mile walk tolerable. I usually download and play it with a player so I can listen at 2x. Yeah, I know I'm a lightweight compared to Mr. Door-to-Door. Eric is missed. All of you are like family. Thanks again for the show. Mike D, trust me. Everybody who subscribes to this show and sends me a single email, I consider brethren, I consider brothers, family members, sisters, everybody. So trust me when I say the feeling is definitely mutual. There's nothing wrong with listening at 2x. There's nothing wrong with listening at 1x. I just question why people would. It took years, literally 4+ years of continuous dedication is the way I'll put it, to go past 2x. It took a long time for me to go above like 1.5, 1.7. So being up to 2 is definitely a respectable thing. 7-mile walk, I'll comment on that too. I do just over a 5-mile on average a day walk. And what I mean is some days I just don't get a chance to walk. I'm too busy. To do it all in one shot, I find, I don't want to say uncomfortable. I do it in shorter time amounts. I try to do three separate walks in about 20 to 25 minutes each is the way that I try to do it. If you do it all in one shot, more power to you, brother. Next one we're going to read real quick is from Red Dwarf, a very long time listener, very long time supporter. His email is titled Earbuds, and the email says, I got a pair from AliExpress that I thought were just stereo buds. The description didn't say you could use them separately. So what I was doing was pairing one up in Bluetooth, and then when the battery died, I unpaired it. This might be a way around the only stereo buds, I'm not sure. I ended up forgetting to blow out the setting and found out that mine are made to be used as singles two or in mono mode. Thanks for all your great shows. I really miss the manager. P.S. Please add me to the drawing and thanks. You're definitely added, Red. I really wish you would have sent me a link to those buds because I'm always interested to see. I've seen more than a couple pairs that look virtually identical, and it's hard to say who was the original people who had it and is there one that's better than the other. Also, you didn't mention a price. So I'm hoping you paid from AliExpress, 18 to 28, maybe 30 something dollars. For those that don't know, AliExpress is kind of like eBay, I believe it's a China based website. It's really much, much more than that. You can go and you can literally order lots of goods too. I know plenty of, shops that go on AliExpress, buy, for instance, 200 hats or 200 shirts or 200 piece of, things that they then put in their store for resale. You can go on there and you can find a eclectic blend, I'll say, of all kinds of computer hardware as well. The only rule is it's just like eBay. If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. Also, always make sure to check your seller ratings. Okay. Take a break from the emails. We're going to come back because we do have more than a couple emails to go. We're going to jump into some news story topics because on the hardware front, I literally have nothing new. I will say a very good friend of the show, Tim Bauermeister, in like Tim, super long time Podnuts guy, pinged me and said he had a friend that had a couple phones. He just wanted to get rid of them. He said, here, take the phones. And one of the phones he said in the pile was the Huawei Honor 8. And he said, he said, to be honest, Dor, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even know how to pronounce the phone. And as soon as he said that, I'm thinking to myself, I'm tempted to ask him to send me that phone because that was a really nice phone. I had it on a roller coaster ride, foolishly had it in my chest pocket, went on the Superman ride in Six Flags, and voila, it went flying away because it's on the Superman ride. What else would happen? But he pinged me and said, I wouldn't have even known how to pronounce the phone. He said, I've been using a couple of these phones that he gave me as handheld tablets. He would put his phone into tethering mode and just play with a couple of the phones here and there. He used to be a big ingresser, so he's very well versed on using multiple devices at once. And he said that he was very impressed and very shocked at how smooth that the Honor 8 was. I will say the Huawei devices are not your normal Android devices. Right now I have the Huawei P20 Lite, which I will say is still an unbelievably competent device, especially for being around 230, 240. Just very smooth device. But I did tell him that you have to be aware that the phone, Honor 8 and my P20 Lite, unless you are educated on the ecosystem and the OS and all the things that go on it, it is what I call a Easter egg operating system. There's a lot of things in that OS that you might not be aware are there unless you either accidentally stumble upon them or you actually do a little bit of investigation and digging into the operating system. And I told him about the one-handed mode where you just swipe on the recent home and back, and then the screen shrinks by, I'd say, 30% or more, thus making it easier to reach that top far corner. I told him a couple other tricks, and he's like, why don't we get these devices in the U.S.? I'm still utterly convinced, primarily a very general term, the U.S. gets the garbage phones for the most part. The best of the best of the best of breeds, we do not get. We definitely get some really good devices, but for the most part, the best devices are not here. You can get them. You can get them shipped overseas, kind of thing. They won't be 100% compatible with the network, but a lot of them will work to some degree. I hope that will change, and we will start getting more top tier devices that don't cost like $1,000. But for now, we're still paying too much, in my opinion, and getting too little in return. But yeah, I definitely am a fan of the Huawei devices, all of them so far. Just unbelievably rock solid devices, really good functionality at a really fair price. What we're going to bring next is an actual link. And I will say I'm sad to admit to everyone, but I can admit to myself that when I'm not right, I'm not right. And this is, on Uber Gizmo. Never heard of the website before, but this was the one that I found that mentioned it. So I linked it, and it says, Google has finally acknowledged Fuchsia OS, claims it's a experiment. They've acknowledged Fuchsia for well over a year now, so that's nothing new. But in the most recent Google I/O, they basically said a couple soft statements stating that think of it as a experiment, think of it as a alternating sandbox playground, think of it as a place to try to discover new and different ways to interact with computer operating systems. I said this year we're going to get a Fuchsia phone. What I'm going to basically, because I'm wrong, if this is at all accurate, if what they said at Google I/O is at all accurate, then I'm going to change my prediction to say I can see fragments of Google Fuchsia and functionality from Google Fuchsia to be embedded into other devices, whether it's a Nest Home Hub Max or in any other kind of device that we haven't even dreamed of yet, whether it's a toaster, a refrigerator, a wearable, or something else. So I definitely think it's a playground where people can try different things. And I think it's the kind of playground where if a main developer for Android sees something they like, they will have the liberty to basically bring it into full-blown Android. And I will say, do not forget about the Google Home Mini giveaway. We still have at least 2 weeks, so there's no rush. Even if you waited to listen to a show, you have plenty of time to listen to it. Helps when I actually show the web page on the stream. That kind of helps a little bit. What I wanted to bring next, I'm going to have to admit, first and foremost, it's not a phone link. It's not even a Google link, but it's the kind of thing that I think really can be important here on the mobile computing space moving forward. And this is over at The Verge, and it is Lenovo shows off the world's first foldable PC. Okay, I don't know if you guys saw this, so I'm going to show the video. Hopefully we don't get, you know, copyright stuff. But here's the gimmick. Okay, first let's lead in with Lenovo. Like them, hate them, whatever, you have to admit Lenovo has been successful. Whether or not you like the laptops they've been making, they've at least been successful. They're still in business. Here's the dirty secret, though. They've been in the top tier of mobile phone manufacturers for, I want to say, at least 8 years, 7 or 8 years. So they understand mobile tech. They basically unveiled a foldable laptop. Now, of course, somebody's going to say, oh, well, aren't all laptops foldable? Yeah, yes, they are. Okay. And I'll say Tim Bauermeister also said it shouldn't be called foldable. It should be called refoldable, because anybody can fold a screen. But of course, once you fold the average screen, it's not usable. Think of it as the entire lid, the entire screen of the laptop ripped off. And then like a book sideways, you can fold the screen in on itself. And then it basically goes down to half size, and you can carry it with you. All of the weight of the battery is on one side of the tablet. So if you prop it up, the back of the screen will stay up and the bottom will always stay on the table or the surface because of the battery being there. You can use a soft keyboard built into the screen. Use it like a netbook. And when I say like a netbook, it's literally about the size of a netbook. And when it folds basically completely closed, completely flat, it looks like. And one of the ways that The Verge said was actually very usable, very functional, was when you hold it in like a book mode where you have the actual screen slightly bent, so it's slightly closed and it's very comfortable in the hand. Of course, it's going to have stylus type support. And they're going to sell it. They plan to sell it with a small Bluetooth keyboard, and by small, just a little bit smaller than the actual screen. No mouse, it looks like, no touchpad even, it looks like, if I look at it correctly. And here's what I'll say. There's no way on any planet this is going to be successful. It just is not going to be successful. But the real thing is I don't know if they really want it to be successful. I think they just want it to be successful enough to be known as a foldable laptop. I can see version 2, maybe version 3 or version 4 or maybe even version 5, them have this technology and other manufacturers have this technology down to such a science, but even more importantly, have the operating system honed in such a way to make the device take advantage of the fold. So in like, you know, three, four years, I could see this possibly being, in air quotes, the future of laptop computers. I don't think laptop computers will ever go away. I do think that there are a certain percentage of laptops that will definitely lose popularity. I think this, if this catches on whatsoever, it will be like the official death of tablet computers, because it really kind of is a tablet computer. The difference is they wanted to run a full desktop type OS, aka Windows. And no matter how I feel about Windows, if they give a lot of end users Windows on a folding screen like this, and the software is honed for it, and the hardware feels nice in the hand, and it's not, you know, $3,000, I could see this actually being successful. Again, 3, maybe 4 years. But I definitely think it's interesting, and I think if it is successful, it will affect mobile computing in another way, because it will make it, the idea of folding devices, even more okay for the average type person. Okay, next, we're basically going to go the way I call it, anti-Google, because, I don't know, it like, kind of like rings off the tongue. It just kind of fits. There's a company, and I don't even know how to pronounce the company, but it's /e/. I guess, I don't know. But they plan on selling refurbished smartphones with a Google-free Android experience. I literally said that slow because you have to digest it. They plan to sell refurbished smartphones with Google-free Android on it. Okay, now, we here in Android App Addicts, you know, 8+ years being on the air kind of thing, being on the air, we've known about ROMs. We've known about custom builds. We've known about custom operating system. We've been able to flash our phones. We've been able to do all this to our phones for years, where we can try to get in there, download a ROM that will literally remove virtually every trace of Google that they can. Now, the truth is, back then when you did it, a good amount of things broke. And of course, if you didn't have the Play Store on your device, your selection was ultra limited, or you had to trust a site service that many people considered shady, untrustworthy kind of thing. Now, no matter how you feel about Google, you have to believe that they are at least doing some level of security, some level of auditing, some level of caretaking, of trying to get rid of unwanted apps in their market. Okay. So if you're going to have a device that has no Google on it whatsoever, then they're going to have to first and foremost have their own custom app store, or try to link to a site like F-Droid and with like some kind of promise of some kind of security on it, to where apps can be trusted, or literally just offer a more limited set of applications, possibly straight from the developers is what I'm going to guess. I will say this is unbelievably interesting to me. I will say there's a huge percentage of people out there that do not need a $1,000 phone. And when I say a lot of people don't need a $1,000 phone, I mean, 99.9% of the people out there do not need a $1,000 phone. I'm not talking to the journalists. I'm not talking to the celebrities. I'm not talking to the YouTubers. I'm not talking to any of those people. I'm talking to normal people. Don't really need a $1,000 phone. It might be nice to get one, especially if we can just pay a little bit every month for one, but I really don't need it. It looks like they're going to be selling the Samsung Galaxy S7, S7 Edge, S9, and S9 Plus. And of course, the prices are in euros because /E/Foundation is a European company. I'd like to see them actually be successful and actually start to offer this maybe in different markets. I will say there's no doubt they can get tons and tons of S7s and S9s, used or lightly used kind of thing, from a lot of different places is what I'll say. Even on Swappa, I believe right now you can get a Samsung Galaxy S7 for just about in near mint condition for about $140 on Swappa. That's going to come with all the Googleware. If you want a Google free ecosystem and you don't want to do the research and you don't want to flash the operating system and you don't want to have to worry about that and get some kind of warranty with it, then, you know, you can check this out. I will say I would like this to become a thing. I would like this to become at least moderately successful. I'm not going to hold my breath. I know better than that, but I'm happy somebody is doing it is what I want to say. Next link I'm bringing just because I thought was funny, but this doesn't look there. Maybe there's some kind of, oh yeah, there's some kind of auto rotating thing going on this website. So I got to go back to the beginning when I loaded this page, which was like 20 minutes ago. So I'm now not a fan of Giphy Cat because they keep changing my page on. Well, that really does suck. Okay, let me see if I can find this page really quick. Okay, there you go. What it is, it's an animated GIF of a phone holder, and the phone holder is basically like rocking the phone, aka it's increasing your step counter. I always said if my job or my insurance company or my whatever wanted to try to like trick me into getting a better discount, as long as I, you know, get so many steps per day on my device, I'd literally just take it over somebody's house and connect that device to a dog and just never look at it again, because I'm not going to be bribed by any company to do such a thing. If I'm going to step, I'm doing it for my own good, and that's it. But there's no doubt I could probably 3D print this thing and just put it by my desk and put their device in it and just let it rock all day long and claim, yeah, I'm walking, you know, 25 miles a day. So what's it to you kind of thing. And I encourage everybody, anytime any insurance company or any job tries to offer you a discount for steps, you do everything you can to circumvent what they're doing. Because I don't think it's healthy, quote unquote, to basically abnormally push people towards things for the incentive of money. If people want to do it for health reasons and your job wants to push it for health reasons, that's different. But when they try to basically bribe you with it for money, I'm not a big fan of it. Okay, we're going to now jump to some apps, and I figured out on Giphy Cat down here, I can turn off the up next feature, which, you know, you got to mess up once in a while to learn. So now I know for future. This is a longer email, and I will say, because this email is so chock filled of information, this person's also going to get credit for two emails. It doesn't hurt the fact that he's cool. This has been another long time, listener, subscriber, Patreoner kind of guy to, Android App Addict. So first off, Ben, thank you for the email. I'm going to do my best to read this email. So stick with me, people. Okay. The email is called AAA Check-In. First off, I'm sorry to hear about Eric. Nothing I can say makes it better, but I am lucky I got to hear his voice for a few years, kind of get to know him and his dang VR game interest. And I know his pain is over, but his family and friends will still feel it. Testify, Ben. I wrote this long email about podcast players, then dug back and found my answer. So fun stuff. Still left most of the text below the stars. I'll be giving Podcast Addict a chance now. Hopefully it is my solution. I'm not usually able to tune in live on Thursdays now that Google Plus is gone. I found the Podnuts group on Reddit. I'm guessing that's the best place for the time being to see random involvement and share apps? Question mark. I'll come back to that, Ben. One game I've been playing a little bit is Five Words. I'm almost 40 and trying to keep my brain sharp or make it sharp. Copy this link. This is kind of a Sudoku word game. Super simple, I guess. I have the ad-free version. Bet I got it on sale or as a free app. It is simple, makes me think a bit, and I hope it's helping me somehow. Oh, and I started Google Rewards on April 29th, 2015 per the app. I've answered 630 micro surveys and I have made $156.75 in Google money. So I've bought a ton of apps and movies for confirming or denying if I've been to a place or if I paid with cash or credit. Otherwise, as always, thanks for the listening in enjoyment, Ben. Okay, really quick, $156.75. Good job, Ben. You, instead of giving your information away on services like Twitter, Facebook, MeWe, all these sites out there, instead of giving your information away, isn't it good to get something back for giving your information away? Because the truth be told, Google already knows most of the information anyway. And yet they give you money back that you can then rent movies, watch with your family, buy apps, buy ebooks, all kinds of good stuff. So opinion rewards is gold. And thank you for sharing that amount, Ben. Okay, now here's the email where he first started to write it. And it says, I just downloaded Podcast Addict, re-listened to episode 535 and found it. I have used Beyond Pod Pro for years, but it's not buggy lately and not updated lately, so I've started looking elsewhere. But here's what I've loved about it. Hoping I can get Podcast Addict up and running today. Folders categories. I can categorize my music, running, tech, random, etc. Especially helpful when I want to listen to just music or just Podnuts. Granular regulation of downloads. I can say only download/keep one episode max of this daily short podcast or three of this music one that I can listen to on repeat while I run. So that if I don't listen to a daily or weekly podcast, I don't get overwhelmed with a ton of downloads. Playback speed. I do remember you saying you preferred one has this control for each podcast, which I think I'll love. Music at 1x, running interviews at 1.4x, etc. SD card write, no-brainer in 2019. Dark mode of some variety, of course. Import, export, and playback speed. And I will say, it does have all those features in Podcast Addict, and a lot of the other podcast players do have that same feature. Podcast Addict doesn't scream at you about those features, so you can go into each feed, click the gear, and you can set separate settings, like don't download this over mobile data, only download this podcast on Wi-Fi. The rest of the podcast, go ahead and download on mobile data, but this one on Wi-Fi. Or you can say only keep one episode, only the most recent episode of this podcast. Even if they put out four or five a day, you don't have to worry about it. Filling up your phone, you only have the one. There's many settings like that in Podcast Addict. When you're playing a playlist, you simply play whatever you're playing, change that speed. Every time you play that playlist or that feed, you'll only have that speed. So there's many settings like that in Podcast Addict. At 10:11 a.m., Ben sent this email, and then at 6:10 at night, so 8 hours later, he said, 10-second follow-up. Okay, a little bit past 10-second follow-up. Podcast Addict is rad, fits everything I'm looking for, buying the ad-free now for sure. Thanks, Ben. And I'll say on behalf of Xavier, thank you. And I'm also going to say on behalf of Xavier, if this is the kind of product where you insist that you always have updates to, then you can support him on Patreon. I got to make that clear. Also, if you have features or a set of features that you demand that you think is absolutely vital in his application, you can let him know directly on Twitter. You don't need to be a Patreon person to listen to him. In fact, if you join his Patreon and send him a message on Patreon, he'll tell you, don't send me a message on Patreon. Send it to me on Twitter. Part of that, I believe, is he wants to treat everybody equally, which I will say is part of the reason why I never put out special content on Patreon. I never try to put any content behind a closed door, because that to me is unbelievably ignorant to all my brothers and sisters out there. I'm not going to say to, you know, all my listeners, because you're my family. So any content that is going to be available will first and foremost be available publicly. I have no problem double posting it, giving it to the Patreon people, but I'm not going to like hide stuff behind them, and neither does Xavier. Even if what you can do, if you can't afford a lot of Patreon people, you can literally just set up a little schedule in your calendar and say, for 3 months, let me give Xavier $1 a piece. And then after that, I'll give somebody else 3 months of $1 a piece, and then do that kind of thing. I really do encourage you to definitely support those who support you. Buying the ad-free version is basically just a way of saying thank you once. I say thank you to Xavier over and over again, because again, I listen to 24 hours plus of spoken audio, and I think he deserves it. Thank God he doesn't pay, or he doesn't charge per the hour, or else I'd be broke. Two more emails. We're going to go to them in a minute. Let's do a couple more apps. You're in the chat, Robot404, my smartwatch says I've taken 13,727 steps. I want to say that's about 7 miles right there. It's definitely more than 5 miles unless you have really short legs. I have very short legs. He says he's gotten $151 over 658 surveys. I honestly don't remember. It's been so long since I've looked at that dollar amount. And I will say Google Opinion Rewards was an app that was supposed to show up in my picks list, but it isn't. They finally revamped the interface. I've been doing it since, I don't even know. Let's go back. Oh, man. March 1st, 2014. So I've been doing it for a little bit. $186.75. So you can see by the three people here, the email, the chat, and myself, it's about pretty consistent money over time. It isn't like there's great differences with people. I will say if you travel a lot, you'll probably will get more. It's just the nature of the beast. Okay. Next app is, I heard, read multiple places, this is a Google app, and it's really like a Google incubator company kind of thing, which I'm going to still say is a Google app. The actual name of the company is Area 21. Area 21 has two apps. One is called Grasshopper Learn to Code for Free. This app is called Rivet, R-I-V-E-T, Better Reading Practice by Area 21 again. Books and Reference Education, 642 reviews, E for everyone, family friendly. Haven't seen that there on too many apps, so that's good to know. We have a family friendly icon right there on the page to let us know we can give this to a small child and we do not have to worry about what is in it. Completely free to download, no in-app ads and no in-app purchases, 4.0 average reviews, updated May 14th, 2019, 87 megs in size, 500,000 plus installs, current version 1.1.25. All you need is Android 5.0 and up. Okay. This is an app that helps kids read. I really don't want to sound like, you know, a bad 80s PSA and say reading is fundamental. But I will say writing is something that I think people will do less, like handwriting kind of thing. So I understand them trying to work on like typing skills in school, but reading is reading is reading. I don't know if there's ever going to be a time in life where we don't read something. Emojis will not take over the world. Okay. That ain't going to happen. But reading is necessary. I really do encourage you, if you have an old phone or a older tablet, put it in a silicone type case, or a TPU plastic type case, and give this kind of app to a kid. Yes, yes, we should not have kids with, you know, 10 hours of screen time a day. I trust my listeners to have common sense. Okay. We all have to just use our head. My youngest son, he's 11 years old. I try to keep his tablet, like phone, like that kind of screen time down to below an hour a day. On days he's really good in school and does his homework all by himself and it's complete and it's cleanly written and his day in school is well behaved and he didn't buy three snacks during lunch, I let him go like an hour and a half and I'll let him play the Switch a little bit. But you know, we have to like try to limit them. And I will say kids love screens. Doesn't matter what's on them. They love screens. So why not make it at least a little bit educational once in a while? And with this kind of app, Rivet, you can literally help your kid read. There's tons of books in here that I saw. And there's no doubt, you give it to a kid who's young, who hasn't already been indoctrinated with things like Fortnite. And I guarantee you the kid will like it. The kid will have fun. And at the same time, the kid will learn a little bit. In my humble opinion, you can't go wrong with an app like this. So on behalf of the normal man, I'll say thank you very much, Google, for allowing your incubator company to do this kind of thing. Thank you very much for letting them do it without ads and not having to charge for it. Hey, I see Charles in the chat too. And hey, Red, good to see you guys. Thank you guys for coming out. Okay, this next app I brought, because I was a little bit interested in this. While I'm not big on taking pictures, I fall in and out with a desire to at least learn about some graphics things and just try to find alternate sources of graphics where I don't have to worry about copyright and stuff. This one is called Curator, and this is a beta app by Chris Rowett. Photography, E for Everyone, does have in-app purchases. I'm not sure what they are yet. Haven't seen them yet, but it is completely free to download. Does have no ads on it. Since this is in beta, there is no reviews. Updated August 31st, 2018. It's in beta, last updated August 31st, 2018. I know, it confuses me too. 10,000 plus installs, version and size and Android version varies with device. In-app products, 99 cents to $399 per item. Yes, that's a little bit confusing. The permissions aren't crazy, it seems like. Need to view USB storage, modify USB storage, network access, run it, startup, prevent device from sleeping. To be honest, they all sound like very normal permissions. Okay, I am a privacy nut. I have no problem saying that. I believe this is a more privacy-centric app. I'm going to lead with that. Okay, Curator, it says, is the first gallery to organize your photos using artificial intelligence entirely offline. And that's the reason I bookmarked this app. Entirely offline to make looking at your photos intuitive and faster without compromising on privacy. Just search and it will help you find your photos. So basically you can open up this, point it to your entire gallery, and you can search banana or not a hot dog kind of thing. And the app says it will help you find things. I don't have a lot of pictures. I can tell you when I typed in egg, it showed me my egg cooker loaded with eggs. I guess that means it works. I don't know, but I'll say this. It promises entirely offline usability and more privacy focus. But I believe that the in-app purchases are just basically saying thank you and nothing more. I'm not entirely sure, but if you like the idea of completely offline indexing of your picture using AI, and I don't like saying that word, I definitely encourage you check out Curator Beta. And if you're at all skeptical about it, don't forget you can install an app like Island, install it under a work account or a work profile to where it will not have access to your normal contacts and things. I honestly did not install it in that Island because the permissions didn't seem sketchy or dirty to me. So I was actually okay with installing it. The next one is another one I will say picture related that I found genuinely interesting. And it's called Canva. I'm going to call it Canva because Mark's not here and he's probably right now screaming at his player. Canva graphic design and logo flyer poster maker. Editor's choice by Canva art and design. 1 million. I really hope we didn't bring this app before. 1,200,000 reviews. E for everyone. Some kind of in-app purchase. Again, I wasn't sure where it was at. Completely free to download. No in-app ads. 4.8 average reviews with 1.2 million reviews. That to me is near incredible. Updated May 14th, 2019. So not only extremely popular, but seemingly recently updated, which is a good sign. Size is 21 megs, 10 plus million installs. Current version 2.13.0. All you need is Android 4.1 and up. That is incredibly nice. In-app purchases range from $1.49 to $59.99 per items. Let's take a look at the permissions really quick. Just storage access, camera access, view Wi-Fi connections access. I'm not sure. Hopefully it's just to see if you are connected on Wi-Fi, because typically when you're on Wi-Fi, it will be a little bit more lenient about what it allows to access online. View data from the internet, view network connections, control vibration. I have no idea why. Prevent device from sleeping. That's normal. I see Brian is also in the YouTube chat. Hey, Brian, really good to see you. Okay. What it basically, this app says it can do, Canva makes design and video editing amazingly simple and fun. Create stunning designs with your photos and videos, even if you're not a design expert. I'll say especially if you're not a design expert, because if you're a design expert, you're not going to use this application. Okay. It is a versatile graphic designer app. There, for instance, is Instagram story maker, video maker, video editor, logo maker, and poster maker, book creator. You can even make a mood board. And I'll say much, much more than that. This is a very simple, think of it almost like Adobe Fireworks kind of application. It's where you can, type in words, pick different styles, pick different backgrounds and effects and border effects. To be honest, this is a really easy way to make basic looking graphics, is what I'm going to say. There's no doubt after using it for some length of time, you're going to notice, there's only so much different things you can do in the app. But to be honest, I think there's enough, like if you're hosting your own blog or you want to have your own covers to your own Instagram things, there's no reason why you can't use this and honestly be pretty satisfied with it, is what I'm going to say. I will say it was definitely simple to use, easy to use. Anybody can use it. Logo Maker was the one that really caught my eye. I like the idea of giving people a easy, simple way to create logos or like banner type stuff right on the fly. Again, that's Canva, C-A-N-V-A. We're going to do one more app and then jump to some more emails. This was another one, image related, graphic related, picture related. Partially, I'm bringing this app, I'm not going to lie, because I love the name, Pexels. Yes, Pexels. P-E-X-E-L-S. Pexels. By Pexels, a photo app, 1,320 reviews, E for everyone, completely free to download, no in-app ads. Oh yeah, that's the trifecta right there. E for everyone, completely free, no in-app ads or purchases. 4.4 average reviews, updated April 25th, 2019, 14 megs in size, 100,000 plus installs, current version 2.0.0. All you need is Android 4.4 and up. Again, that is absolutely fantastic. Permissions, read phone status and identity. I'm not completely comfortable with that. Photos and media, storage and media, Wi-Fi connections again, device ID and call information, receive data from the internet, full network access, set the wallpaper. That's actually a common one. Draw over other apps, your editing kind of thing, drawing boxes over kind of things, prevent device from sleeping, Google Play license check. Not sure why you need a license check. View network connection, set wallpaper, draw over other apps. I'm not a super fan of it having call status and identity. So this is an app that I did install on Island to have it isolated from my other apps. The long and the short of this app is it is a browse app where you can find Creative Commons type thing that you can search and filter by Creative Commons share alike, edit freely, and you can use in commercial purposes. That to me is the hard one to find a lot of things. So if you just want to browse artwork, search artwork that you can reuse as you see fit, as you like, or edit as you like. I honestly thought this was a nice little app with a broad amount of pictures, is what I want to say. This is the kind of app where if you want to scroll forever and not have to worry about hearing about a grandparent or a new childbirth or someone's belief about a political stance or someone's belief about a religious stance or someone about their kid in school or something, that some sporting event, sports ball that you don't care about, and you just like to endless scroll through stuff and have, you know, family friendly type content, this was actually an interesting app. My oldest son likes art, so this is the kind of app I put on his phone, and I just told him, you know, scroll through, and when you find interesting pictures, send them to me. It's just a way that I found safe to keep my kid in grades with like art and other types of art as well. Robot44, how well do you think it will work with the Pixel 3 or 3A? I'm going to guess you're talking about the app Pexels. Hopefully it will work perfectly inside of it. I will say the Pixel 3 and 3A, or 3A and 3A XL, whatever, just went on sale today on Amazon. I expect it to have fair sales numbers. I don't think it's going to be spectacular sales numbers whatsoever. This is an app, to be honest, that's right up my alley, that a lot of people will say, why would you need such an app? But I'm telling you right now, the app's already installed. Okay. I'm probably going to keep it, and I'm probably going to keep using it for a long time. There are certain silos of information on my phone. When they get too busy, I just disconnect from them. Whether it's IRC and I'm in a chat and there's just too many words going by, I just have to disconnect. If I'm in a Google Hangout with people and the chat starts coming too fast, I'll just snooze the notifications. If I'm in Discord and literally there's like, you know, 20 messages in the last 5 minutes, I'll literally kill the app and I'll check it back later. Which is why I can't be on Twitter or Facebook, because there's too much content. And if I can't read it all, I don't want to see it. This box is called Inbox It Share to Mail by Saggy Lowenharth. Man, ooh, a productivity app, 160 reviews, E for everyone, does have in-app purchases. Again, sorry, I'm not sure what the in-app purchase it is. Completely free to download, no in-app ads, 4.7 average reviews, updated May 4th, 2019, 4.7 megs in size. That's small. 10,000 plus installs, current version 1.2.2.6. You only need version 4.0.3 Android and up. Let's take a quick peek at permissions. Identity makes sense. Contacts, I'm sorry, it makes sense. Photos and media, storage, network access, the normal, draw over other apps, prevent device from sleeping. A lot of apps want that. In-app purchases range from 99 cents to $2.99. Hopefully it's just a thank you payment. I'm not completely sure, but I will keep playing with this app. Okay. Sometimes we see something that we really want to read about, but we just don't have time. It can be an article, a image, a video, and whatnot. Wouldn't it be nice to save these things so you can handle them later? And what's better than doing it in a single click? This is not a replacement for the Inbox app, and it's not an email client. Please read the description and watch the demo. Okay, we're going to watch the video here on the live stream. 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Essentially what this is, think of it as like an ongoing to-do list that acts like an email inbox. You basically find something you like, you open it, you click share, you share it to the app, and it basically goes to your inbox kind of thing. And then you can basically go to your inbox, and then there, it's going to basically list everything. And just like an email client, you can mark it as read, you can delete it, or you can save it for later. Sometimes I don't want to open up my email. Sometimes I have, let's say, anxiety, because I know when I open my email, I'm going to have, you know, many things in here that I don't want to look at right now. And then when you open it up in the Inbox It app, if it is something that you like for later, you can literally then send it to your Gmail account or to an email account. That's why it has access to your contacts. I actually really like the idea of this. I've used Gitpocket for years for my like bookmarking, but it really only works with web pages. It doesn't work with pieces of content like clips of text or images. So this might actually serve a really good use case. I might have a picture that I download and say, I just want to save this picture for later and not necessarily a URL. So I'm definitely going to download this. I'm going to give it a shot. I want to see what are the in-app purchases because I have no idea what they are. And I'll say this to me is a good like bookkeeping app, keep track of things app. Okay, I believe we have two more emails. First one is from Red Dwarf again. So this is his second entry. And it is labeled 5G really starting yo get a bad feeling about 5G and the fact of the radiation from it will be all over with transmitters everywhere. I wonder about the health risk, something you might want to talk about on AAA. Okay, I can tell you right now, there is literally nothing you could, should, would, can worry about when it comes to 5G. There's one simple reason. There's two types of radiation. Ionizing radiation and non-ionizing radiation. Non-ionizing radiation has been flowing through everything in and on and around the planet Earth since it has existed. It is everywhere. It is ubiquitous. It is never going to stop. Non-ionizing radiation is everywhere. 5G is non-ionizing radiation. You can take a 5G transmitter, you can shove it into an orifice and leave it there for 50 years, and you will never have anything except maybe a cut or a bruise from it. Ionizing radiation, more like X-rays or gamma rays or some like there was a type of electro radiation, but then you have, of course, like, nuclear type radiation. Those are all ionizing radiations. And feel free, don't believe me, go look this up. Ionizing radiation is radiation that transmits, that moves in such a way that when it comes into contact literally with the bits and pieces inside of your cells, the RNA and DNA, it literally knocks pieces off of your RNA, knocks pieces off of your DNA, messes with proteins, it literally hits them. And when it hits them, it basically deforms them and mutates them. And that's how cancer gets started. Non-ionizing radiation travels in such a way, and it's typically traveling at a much larger waveform. It literally just passes right through you, cannot cause any harm, period, bar none. Anybody spreading any rumors or any kind of misinformation, disinformation about 5G causing any kinds of illness is spreading propaganda, period. No getting around it. That's just the way it is. Okay, next one we have is from Pete B. I just listened to episode 537. Can you please sign me up for the drawing? I could use a mini for my basement. Thanks. Pete from Clifton, New York. Pete, no. Nope. Pete, you're not entered in the contest. And I got a reason for it. You came out to the live stream at like 3 a.m. I don't even know what time it was. It might have been 5 a.m. And you asked during the 24-hour live stream about a non-violent game for your wife. Sorry, average listener, but I'm talking to Pete here. And he was asking for a non-violent game for his wife. I believe it was his wife. And somebody said Minecraft. And Les, look, okay. Minecraft in normal sandbox mode or whatever they call it is technically non-violent, which isn't a game. Okay. Let's just be real with each other. It's an activity. Minecraft in sandbox mode is an activity, not a game. Minecraft in survival mode, there's death. There's a lot of death. You can easily die in it. There are zombies chasing you to kill you. Okay. So that's a violent game. Even though it's blocky, it's still technically a violent game. So I immediately cut people off in that 24-hour live stream because they were typing in text. And I said, no. The game you want to introduce to your wife is Stardew Valley. Okay. It is the epitome of nonviolent game, even though you can go into the mines with a sword and you can kill slimes and other creature monsters down there if you want. But that's the thing about Stardew Valley. If you want, you can literally spend the entirety of the game just farming and you'll be fine. You won't miss out on anything. You'll enjoy the game. Or you can start the game up and say, all I want to do is fish. I want to become a fishing expert. You can launch the game, do nothing but fishing. You won't miss out on anything, and you'll have lots of fun playing it. You can say, I want to do relationships. Load the game, go around the town, talk to the people. If you want to, stalk the people, give them gifts, make friends, and just interact with people all the time, and you will miss nothing else about the game. The game is unique in that respect, is what I'll say. Or you can spend your entire time going down the mines, killing everything, and finding loot and other goodies. And Pete said, you know, sounded good. I played a little bit on the stream, and I showed it to him a little bit. And I will just say it like this, Pete. If you do not tell me in the next 2 weeks how your wife took you introducing Stardew Valley, then you're not introduced. Then you're not in the Google Home Mini giveaway. That's just the way it is, Pete. You can't leave me hanging like that. I really hope she at least gave it a entertaining chance to play, because I will say it is the kind of game, once you load it up, it's a little bit confusing. You don't know what you're doing. There has to be something there to spark your interest for the first 20, 30 minutes of gameplay. And I will say the best thing about the game is every 10 minutes or so into the game, as you're playing it for the first time, the game literally transforms itself in front of you, and it transforms the objectives right in front of you. Even if you've only been farming, you have to do different things in order to farm. Even though what worked before will still work, now there's better ways and different things you can do, and the game constantly evolves like that. You can easily put hundreds and hundreds of hours into the game and never experience the same thing twice. So Pete, you got to get back with me on that, or else, you know, you just can't leave me hanging like that. Okay, next app we're going to bring here. I wanted to make sure we were still sharing the stream on the show. Okay, this app is called Inware, Inware, by EvoWiz. It's under the tools category. 154 reviews, E for everyone, completely free to download. No in-app purchases, no in-app ads. 4.7 reviews. Updated January 21st, 2019, because it doesn't need to be updated crazy often. Trust me, I'll get there. Size 3.3 megs in size. Perfect. A little tiny app does what it needs to do. 10,000 plus installs. Current version 1.4.1. You need 6.0 Android or up, which is fair. That's still, you know, 2-3 years old. Permissions. Location. Phone activity. Photos. Storage, Wi-Fi, device ID, call information, and the full stack of vibration, prevent device from sleeping, pair with Bluetooth devices, blah, 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 blah. Here's the reason I say blah, 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 blah. This application basically needs all those kinds of access, because what this application does is it basically allows you to take a hard, deep dive look into all of the hardware on your device. It will tell you, besides the obvious CPU and RAM, it will tell you details about your screen size, resolution, aspect ratio. It will tell you identifiers about your firmware, about your antenna, tell you about the type of service that you're getting right now. It will like tell you the obvious things about your Wi-Fi connection. It will tell you details about your camera that basically no other app kind of like services. Surfaces. So if you want to know like the true dirty details about everything on your phone, you can go look it up on a website and try to read it, or you can just install this app and you can see all of the different hardware on your device, whether it's a phone or tablet, in some really good detail. Granted, it's the kind of app you might only install once, read it, think it's cool, and not need it again, but it's the kind of app I install and I have in my library, just so if later I need it again, I know I can just browse my library and I can see all the details, because this app has been on the store for a while. It will keep being on the store. I want to take this opportunity to remind people, first off, I want to say to everyone, thanks for the emails. Thanks for the kind words about Eric. It's been over a month. It still feels like it's only been a day. He's definitely missed. I'm really happy to say, if you go to GoFundMe.com and search for Eric R. Dini, you'll see a posting from his sister Tara Bell, created March 17th, called "Help Eric R. Dini and Family." we have it up to $11,213 by 160 people. So I definitely want to thank everyone for their support. I want to thank everyone for offering help to Eric. I will say I am going to continue to support him as long as I can because he would support me. And I will say, you know, don't forget the links in the notes. Click the notes. It'll be towards the top. I'm still listing him as a host because he's still with me, is the way I put it. If you want to be in on the Google Home Mini giveaway, do not hesitate. Shoot us an email, aaa@podnos.com. You can go to podnos.com. You can click on the contact link if you want. Go ahead and put your information in there and your email address, and you will be entered in. You could also send us a voicemail, 7076-PODNUT. And never forget, if you want to catch us live, Thursday night, 9 p.m. New York time, you can hop on. You can check us out. We are participating in the YouTube chat and the IRC chat. And do not forget, anytime you want to, you can go catch us on YouTube, catch the back catalog of shows on YouTube if that's your preferred method of watching these. And if you want to subscribe right there in YouTube, and you'll be notified whenever this show goes up. Right now, there is other shows on this same channel, so you might not get every episode, only the episodes that you want. There's only one way that to happen. I will say I am going to give the people in here, especially if you shoot me an email right now, just saying email, robbot404, Charles, Brian, and Red. If you go ahead and shoot me an email here, it's 10.08 p.m. In the next 20, 30 minutes, I'll definitely count you guys as double entries if you shoot me an email. Thank you guys for coming out. Thanks everyone for their support. Please do not forget, Mark is over at elementop.com. Definitely go give him a shout out, give him some support. We all out there support those who support each other. We'll definitely see you guys again really soon. And thank you guys for coming out. We'll talk to everyone again real soon.
My name is Jeff Hallish. I'm the host of PodNuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. PodNuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.